You're now listening to Type 88 on Maker Park Radio with Dave Noodles. Don't stop dreaming.
Yeah, yeah. It's Dave Noodles. This is episode 35. It's a Wu-Tang Wednesday in Shaolin. It's getting a little cold out here. We're in Maker Park Radio. Shout out to Maker Park Radio. Shout out to Makerspace. An amazing holiday event this past weekend. Staten Island was definitely in the building. Speaking of Staten Island in the building, this guy, what up, my man?
What's good? Can you hear me?
So we got a special guest. This guy,
this is dope.
It's crazy because a year ago, I remember he literally gave me a couple of flannels and a couple of pairs of shoes, and he literally like put everything in a backpack and was like, I'm going to the West.
Yeah, what wasn't the best decision, but hey, it worked out.
And it's crazy. We met a while ago. We met through the Future Project.
Yeah,
that was really cool, and it's been great to know this guy. And just want to welcome Thomas Knox to the Type 88 Show. What up, man?
I'm happy to be here, man. Thanks for having me. I was just telling you, man, Staten Island wouldn't be where it is without my boy Dave Noodles.
Much love, much love. I'm grateful to know the Maker Parks and the Projectivities and
yeah.
Staten Island Arts, and it, we all kind of play our part, but it was always my goal to provide stuff that I wanted when I was younger, so I'm grateful to do some of that. And speaking of Staten Island, you were telling me that you grew up around here?
I did, yeah. So this is actually where we're at currently. I actually grew up the block.
Wow.
My address was 53 Thompson Street, which is hilarious. So when I was on my way here and you gave me the address, I was like, yo, that's my hood. Like, that's where I grew up. You know, I went to Curtis, you know, and straight bus 7651 straight to school. You know what I mean? So
cool.
It's crazy to be back home.
So thinking of growing up, you know, like now I know you, you're one of the most humble dudes. You know, you could talk to anyone for hours. We'll talk more about how you actually do that on the regular, but how were you maybe as a young Thomas? Were you the same way? Were you
I've always been okay. Super connected with people. What's so interesting about that question is I just got a message from somebody on Instagram who I don't have no idea who it is. They sent me a message and they said, Thomas, I'm super proud of you. I've known you since Curtis, and you remember when you were in the lunchroom playing spades, joking around, and now you're this really dope entrepreneur doing your thing. Best of luck. And I have no idea who it is. Wow. So I'll be reaching out to them after this. But yeah, man, I've always been like a clown, always been the guy to connect with people, get people going. Yeah, just my style, who I am by nature.
That's so cool. Yeah, because I remember we met, and I've made a few friends from, you know, just volunteering and doing mentoring with the Future Project. But I would probably say you're the best friend that I made from that.
Oh,
it's just cool how from 4 years, we've worked together. We've been to each other's projects and events, and it's just cool to just see the evolution. Because I remember a couple of years ago, you had a lot of dreams, and you know, it seems now that you're in the game of the dream. You're living the dream.
Yeah, so it's funny because you've, as a friend, I think our friendship definitely blossomed because we were at Staten Island. That was something that we had in common. And, you know, I speak about that a lot when I'm connecting with students and when I'm connecting with people within my projects and the work I do. When you find a way to relate with somebody, it's so much easier to connect with them. And I think that's something that we had, like, as soon as we met, we were like, oh, you're from Staten Island, I'm from Staten Island. And that was something that continued to develop our friendship. And, you know, anytime you have a project, no matter where I am, if I can make it, I will literally, like, take a bus, a train, I'll take a plane. Like, I'll do whatever I can to support what you're doing. And it's not just because what you're doing is dope, but it's because of the type of person you are.
I really appreciate it.
And you've held me down. And when I was, like, down and out, you definitely looked out for me. And, you know, anybody who has the opportunity to get to know you, they should be. It's a privilege. Like, I greatly appreciate it. So
the respect is mutual, man, because you're just like a shining light, and it's authentic light. you know, and it's so cool to just see how your passion is taking you to all different places, because you went to the West Coast. Maybe kind of tell us how that whole, you know, maybe what inspired you to pick up and go and then find your way to new spots.
Yeah, so I guess if you want, I can give a little backstory of kind of what my business is and what I do on a regular. So I created a connection platform back in June of 2015, called Date While You Wait. And what Date While You Wait is basically a way to connect with people while they commute. So I decided to set up a table and chairs in the subway and Union Square and just talk to people. I feel like we don't talk enough to each other. And based off of some of the conversations I've had with friends, I was like, yo, I'm just going to create this thing and talk to people. And then when I did it, for whatever reason, which I think it's because people wanted to connect more, it just blew up. It took off. It went viral. And it went viral very quickly in a matter of days. So I went from it being this cool project to me turning it into a company. And, you know, like you said, traveling the world, doing it, traveling the country, literally setting up pop-up shops at different parts in different cities to get people to connect.
And it's cool because you say pop-up shop, but it's literally this innocent thing where you're there, you set up a board game or a Connect Four, or is it Jenga? Connect Four.
I do it all. Connect Four. Yeah. We've done puzzles. We do it all. There's no game I haven't tried.
So it's not like it's interesting because I'm sure. Have you ever seen someone come up to you thinking you're selling something and then they're like, oh wow, and they're just confused?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
People are highly confused. Or were highly confused at what I do, but I think because of the hype of it, it started to like get around, and then people wanted to come and be a part of it because it made more sense then. And obviously I've done a little bit of I've done some educating and letting people know, like, this is what the platform's about.
That's so cool.
Thanks.
And do you remember your first one?
Absolutely. I'll never forget it. It was June 13th 2015. And there's a very interesting story that I always share. My first ever Date While You Wait, the first person I met was actually the CEO of the National Black Theater in Harlem. And she was actually, her name's Sade, and she was actually with her friend, one of her best friends, Zoe Kravitz. So I got a chance to meet Zoe Kravitz, and I had no idea it was Zoe Kravitz. Sade sat with me for the first Date While You Wait. Zoe Kravitz was like, nah, I'm good. Like, I don't want to be on camera. I'm not trying to take any photos. And then when she left, my friends were like, yo, you just met Zoe Kravitz. And I was like, who's that? Because I had no clue. And obviously, when I looked it up, I was like, oh, man. That was the first ever Date While You Wait that I did. Yeah.
And how did it, you know, how did it go from one? Because sometimes, you know, people do something and, you know, you get that thrill and it's like, all right, well, it was fun. And, you know, we're adults. We have bills. We have things that may slow us down in a way. We're like, oh, I got to wake up. I got 3 p.m. I got to be at the job.
Yeah.
How did you kind of manage your life with doing something, you know, just like a very free-spirited thing in the middle of the city?
Yeah, it was very difficult. You know, it's probably the hardest thing I ever had to do because it's not something that existed before I did it. So I didn't really have guidelines. I didn't know what support I needed. I had people that were supporting me, but they could only support me based on what was happening in the moment. They couldn't support me based on what has happened. So that it was very difficult, but I made some poor decisions and I made some really good ones. But at the end of the day, I realized that it's my heart. Like, it's something that it's like a baby to me, and watching it manifest and develop is something that really, really mattered to me. And hence me turn it into a company and continue to build it out to this day.
That's amazing, man. And it's cool because when you have a dream, it starts as kind of this freestyle thing, or, you know, throwing spaghetti against the wall and seeing what sticks. And then certain things stick and it's like, oh, wow, okay, maybe the vodka sauce. Oh, maybe the, maybe not the spaghetti, maybe the penny, maybe the ziti.
Yeah.
Let me use my grandma's cheese recipe, you know, and you kind of start connecting all these dots. What inspired you to use the game that you first started with?
I wanted to start with something that gave people the ability to sit with me for a short period of time, but also we can complete a game. Yeah. So a game like Connect Four, you can play that in a couple of seconds and win or lose. So I thought it would be a type of game where I can play a best out of three with someone. They sit with me for 3 to 5 minutes and they can go on with their day. And then the idea about the games came about because I was sitting with someone the first day while you wait, and she just wanted to take a break. She didn't even want to talk to me. She was like, it was like an older woman. She was like, I don't want to. I'm not interested in talking. So then I thought to myself, how cool would it be to just add a game where people that don't want to have a conversation can just play a game and go on with their day?
That's amazing. So the Connect Four, yeah, because that got me back into it. I remember just seeing you play, and I was like, oh, wow, this. Like, it was that and Jenga growing up. Those were two games that it's hard for me to do a Monopoly where it's like a 7-hour thing.
It's long.
Or even Battleship, it's very drawn out. Like, as a young person, I have attention with things, but it's like have some fun, and then kind of play the next game or do my homework or stuff like that.
Same thing in the subway, man. Same thing. The longer games we've tried, it just didn't work out, but we tried them. And that was the thing. I went into this project just trying different games, trying different things. You know, like I was saying, I did a puzzle. It took me about 7 hours. So I sat in the subway for 7 hours, and we had people come up and help us out, and it was the worst. Like, I was there for 7 hours, but I was like, I'm never doing this again. But at the end of the day, we finished a 500-piece puzzle.
Wow. Like, that's cool.
It happens. So... it's something I could, you know, take off my bucket list.
So I'm sure people are probably wondering, like, so how does that even become a company? How did you know, you're sitting around, you know, you're playing games with people in the city. And as you know, in the city, there's all these vendor laws and there's all these things that may prevent someone from just doing that in terms of commerce, which I thought was cool about you because... people probably are used to seeing like people selling hats and shirts and trips on the ferry, even though you don't need one, you don't need to pay. So how would that even turn into a company?
It's a very interesting kind of journey, right? Yeah. Because I didn't know. I was working for Apple. So at that point, I was working at Apple almost 7 years. And I'm doing this thing in my free time, so I would work an 8-hour shift and leave and go sit in the subway for 2 hours and play board games with people. So when I left Apple, I resigned to focus on it full time. My revenue stream was public speaking. So I would go to universities, I would go to public schools and speak to students about the importance of human connection and try to create a program guide that would support them in doing something similar. So a lot of what you do as far as following your dreams, I wanted to encourage students, and I still want to. I don't want to anymore. But at that point, I wanted to create a program that would encourage students to do something similar to what I was doing. So that was it was great. I was making really good money, but it the well dried up pretty quick because I wasn't known. With a company with a name like Date While You Wait can be misconstrued. Yes. So there were definitely some challenges, but I realized that I still had something special. So what I did is I decided to go back to the drawing board, and you know, here we are going into 2019 with some really great goals.
That's amazing, bro. Because I think a lot of dreams start, and I think some of them for the wrong reason. People like, oh, I want to start. They do it just for the money, and then it doesn't come right away. But what I really like about yours, how long was it before it actually even turned into a company?
It was about a year.
Okay.
Maybe 8 months.
Yeah.
So we first started out, we were going to make an app. So we wanted to develop an app. And if whoever's listening, if you are an app developer and you want to do it, be my guest. I'm all about giving out great ideas. But we wanted to develop an app that gave people the ability to connect in two different locations. So I'm here in Staten Island and you're in LA. You literally jump on the app, you FaceTime, and then you have the ability to play like a game of Connect Four while you're FaceTiming. So me and my team, at that point it was like three of us, we were really trying to figure out how to push this app. And we realized that that was not the way to go. We worked very hard, and we got some great information from like developers, and we even had an investor on board, but it just didn't manifest correctly, and it wasn't where my heart was.
Got it.
So we decided to scratch that and focus more so on the public speaking and the education side.
That's cool, because when you're doing a business, when you're following a goal, there's these moments where it's like, well, I don't want to stop, but it's kind of like not really stopping, but you kind of chose a different route. It's not like you just stopped everything. You're like, all right, well, the app thing, it's not where, there's certain things have to align. I'm sure I know apps now, even now, they cost a lot to really be amazing.
Yeah.
Unless it's like a website that you just open. Otherwise you're paying tens of thousands. I know
you have to support it and updates, and yeah, there's a lot.
Yeah, and I know a couple of startups, and they're in all this debt because of the app. But I think an important lesson what they could actually learn is, and what we talk about these in our meetings. I'm like, human connect. I always tell them, I was like, you have to be at events, shaking people's hand, so when they think of the brand, they have a good feeling. It's not this knocking on their door on the internet where everyone's knocking on your door to sell you something. So I think they can learn a lot from you, because you came from the pure place of just wanting to, connect people.
Yeah.
In a very connected world that is almost disconnected from reality based on, certain factors. But I think it was a very human thing for you to do. So when did it hit you? Like, maybe we're going to bounce, but we're going to take a new route.
It was definitely early, right. 20, maybe late 2017. I'm going to be vulnerable now, because there was a point where I never shared this information, and now I'm open with it. I went from working for Apple, having my own place, having my own car. I was in a relationship at the time, and everything was going well. There were really no hiccups. I went from that to like breaking it off with my girlfriend, leaving Apple, getting my car repossessed, living with my parents, and it was something I just needed to do. I've been very passionate about connecting with people and doing it in a really organic way, and there was what better way to do it than losing everything. So I went from being debt free to now having some company debt, and obviously some debt with my vehicle. And now I'm at a point, looking at it now, where I have a vision. I have a clear vision. I have a clear mission. And I know what the revenue streams look like, and I know what I need to do to be successful. So, I would say definitely late 2017, it really hit me like, this is what you should be doing. I was in Arizona. Like you said, I moved to Arizona, and I was working for Yelp. Mm. And Yelp's a great company. I have no hard feelings for Yelp, but it just wasn't for me. So I was there for like a month, and I was like, this is not for me. I'm an entrepreneur. I know how to make money. I know how to do it the right way. So I'm going to go back home and put all my energy into it. And a year later, I feel like I'm in a really good place. So, yeah.
That's beautiful, bro. That's something I talk about. I call it the break. It's like the moment you feel like you're about to break, the next moment is usually the breakthrough, but if you just can't let yourself break in that moment, so that's just that consistency.
Yep.
And I really applaud you for being able to kind of catch a vibe. You pursue something, you're hungry, but then you'd be like, all right, well, this route is a little, maybe not my route, but your purpose, where you're going. So that's cool, because someone who moves to the West Coast, they may just say, regardless of how I feel, I'm going to stay here, because I just packed all my stuff. I sold all my stuff, and now I'm here.
Yeah.
But you're like, this is my life. I'm going to do what's right.
Absolutely. Yeah. And like you said, while you were saying it when the show started, I do remember bringing you like a bag of clothes, and I was like, yo, I'm moving please give it to someone if they need clothing. I'm obviously not going to need this type of clothing in warm ass Arizona. So let me, you're more than welcome to do what you can with it. And it's just crazy because I was literally there like 22, 23 days and I came back home. And I went from, like I said, having an apartment to moving in with my dad. So, yeah, you never know, but you just have to stick to your guns. I'm okay with the pushback. I'm okay with people not believing in me. I'm okay with, you know, I'm okay with people being negative. I'm going to kind of double talk here because I'm okay with people being negative, but I'm not okay with them being negative with me. So if you're going to be negative, keep that negativity to yourself. I hope you figure it out. But for me, I want to surround myself with people that have positive mindsets and that want to support me and that we want to support each other. So, yeah, I've been really lucky. I've been really blessed to be surrounded like people like yourself or by people by your, like yourself. But yeah, man.
Same, man. And how do you feel about the whole, did you have someone kind of guiding you along the way? How do you kind of find the positive vibe within you? If you maybe, you know, you're having a tough, because to lose, to not have any, you know, to have a car, to have kind of be in love and then the job, you know, things are, that's kind of what people strive for. And then you kind of hit a tough patch. Like, how did you stay positive through those tough days?
Yeah, so I pretty much always have like a positive outlook on things, but I would say some of my go-tos were what I saw with Date While You Wait. Like, I would go back and read messages people send me or watch videos that have been done about Date While You Wait, and it would literally bring me to tears. Like, I've had people send me messages saying, hey, I left my husband because when I talked to you, you encouraged me to have a better conversation with him, and we had a positive conversation, and we decided to divorce. Like, we weren't happy. I've had people start companies from sitting with me, and they're like, you did it, why can't I? Like, I'll never forget, I went to an event, and a guy walked up to me here in New York, and he's like, hey, man, like, you're the Date While You Wait guy, right? And I'm like, yeah, I created it. And he's like, I lived upstate New York, but I moved down here to pursue my business. I sent you a message. You spent an hour messaging me back and forth, and I decided to start a business. So I look at those stories. I look at those interactions and those relationships, and that's definitely what keeps me going. But more than anything, I feel like it's my duty to set an example for not only young people, for just black men in general. I think, you know, for whatever reason, we get a lot of slack for different things, and a lot of, not slack, but flack for different things. And I just wanted to be positive. I wanted to always put the work that I do in a positive space, a positive light. I wanted to be a role model to my siblings. You know, I have three younger siblings, and my brothers really look up to me. And you know my brother.
Yeah.
So that's really what I do it for more than anything. I do it to inspire young people and encourage young people, like, hey, you have a dream, you have a project you want to work on. Yes, it's going to be hard. Yes, you may have to stay up late, or you may have butterflies in your stomach, but put your best foot forward and you never know what can happen. I was lucky because my project went viral, but it didn't stay viral. And a lot of people don't understand. Something goes viral, that all that means is that it's hot at this very moment. That moment does not stick around forever. So you have to develop it. You have to nurture it. And that's something that I learned throughout the process.
That's a true, you know, that's true persistence and consistency and passion.
Yeah.
It's just cool. It's just cool to just see proof that, you know, through hardship, you know, if you get through it and you're really willing to put your all into it, you can really shine. And that's just so cool, man. I think it's just so important these days to have a dream. I try to tell people, you know, 1% at a time. You know, your best friend, they didn't just become your best friend in one day. It was, you had to go through things to kind of earn that. And I think just the same with business and life, you know. So, and I think you're a great example of just being like literally starting 0% and then just 1%, 1%, 0.2%, you know, 0.5%.
And then you lose a little bit, but you get it back.
Exactly. Yeah. That's so cool, man. So, I guess it seems like the theme is just, you know, greatness through it all. And despite the tough times, you know, I've seen movies like Rocky and Creed and stuff like that. You know, you were just talking about Philly. Reminded me of that movie I just saw. And I remember there was a part in the movie that I just saw, and he was like, "What do you have to prove?" And he's like, "To prove that I wasn't a mistake, that I'm not just here just because, you know, of one night, one day, but like I have a purpose here, and yeah. I'm gonna show the world and myself and put on for my family." And that's just beautiful, man.
Well, you bring up, you know, good points, right? Proving that you're creating or living within your purpose for you may be big enough for everybody else. So you never have to, you know, really go out your way, because if you live within your purpose for yourself, people are gonna see it. It's gonna be like this aura. It's like, hey, they're in their own space. Mm-hmm. Like, what's going on there? And as you continue to develop and continue to accomplish, they're gonna be like, what? But you never went out your way to do anything special for them. You did it for yourself or for your family or for whatever reason. So you bring up, I think that's a very, very good point.
Yeah, and I think we could learn from you, because I felt like there was this kind of this yin and yang, like you're putting on for yourself, but then there's this like other half of you that's constantly giving back and constantly finding ways for other people's days to be better. And I think, you know, whatever people believe, I just believe in when you're doing stuff like that, the energy that you're creating, the vibe is just a special thing. You know, you can never go to a store and buy that. You know, you're creating something people remember their whole lives. Like, I'm doing this business because I talked to this guy in the subway one day.
Crazy.
Where you're thinking most of the time you're going to just see someone that may bring you down or everyone's in a rush. You know, so I think that's amazing, man. And it just seems like you've just been pushing greatness. And it just kind of ties into, I see you're doing some other stuff with pushing greatness and fashion and stuff like that. So how did that even connect with like the board games and the subway and meeting all these people?
It's just crazy. I feel like, As much as I'm not super religious, you know, my parents always wanted us in church, and growing up I was in and out of the church, so I'm not super religious. My relationship with God and religion is off, but I have to say it with all the respect in the world, it was God's plan. I'm where I am because of God's plan. I feel like a lot of people fight it, and there are points in my life that I fought it, but I think the synergy with the projects and the companies that I've built all fit each other, so... you know, Date While You Wait, I created to connect with people. I use board games, and then I dipped and dabbled in fashion with my bow tie brand now, B-Grade Bow Ties. And what's very interesting about B-Grade Bow Ties is that I didn't originally come up with the idea. It was actually a friend of mine that I met maybe a month before I started Date While You Wait at the Apple Store. And the person I met, his name was Terrell Shaw. And I remember like he walked into the Apple Store and he had these cool bow ties made out of dice. And I'm like, man, this is so cool. And he was bringing one for one of my friends at work. And I asked my friend at work, I said, hey man, like, where can I get one? And he's like, I'll put you in contact with him. So he connected me before, and this is before Date While You Wait existed. And me and Terrell developed a friendship. So we started hanging out, and he made me a couple dice bow ties. And then one day he hit me up and he was like, hey man, I'm working on this new design with Scrabble. I would love to make you one. If you can choose a word, what would it be? And I was like, I don't know. Like, what are some options? And he's like, I'm thinking about great.
Wow.
So he chose the word great. And I ended up buying the bow tie off of him, and I never wore it. So I had it for like maybe a month, never wore it. And I came up with this Date While You Wait thing. And I remember walking out my house for Date While You Wait. And right before I went out of my house, I was like, yeah, I need to wear this bow tie. So I put on the bow tie. That was the first time. And the rest is history. Everybody knows me because of the bow tie I wear with Date While You Wait. So that's kind of how I got into the bow tie space. But how B-Grade Bow Ties was created was Terrell Shore. Unfortunately, back in 2015, he was having some issues. And he was in a space where he was trying to figure himself out, especially from a romantic standpoint. So he was going out and trying to talk to women, specifically Asian women, and going around. And every time a woman would reject him, he would assault them. He would push them. He would kick them. He would, like, it would be really, like, just these really crazy things happening. And I remember reading an article about Date While You Wait. This was like June, July. And right under the article, I saw an article about him. About, like, police are looking for him. They don't know where he is. And I'm like, oh, what the heck's going on? I reach out to him, no contact. And then maybe about 2 or 3 weeks later, I found out that he unfortunately committed suicide. And I was super crushed. And me and him weren't, like, best friends. He was just, he was definitely a friend of mine. But what hurt me the most is that I have this whole platform around connecting people and talking to people, and I didn't get a chance to have this conversation with him and see where his head was. So it definitely bothered me, and I was hurt. And at the same time, a lot of people were reaching out to me about the bow ties. Like, why are you wearing these bow ties? This guy is assaulting women. Like, how dare you? And I'm like, I paid for it. My bow ties says positive words. Like, I don't agree with what he's doing. I just kind of gave up. I was like, you know what, screw it. Not going to wear the bow tie. I'm done with it. And then, once again, God's plan. My younger brother, Xavier, one day we're home and he's like, yo, people keep asking you about these bow ties. We should start a company making them. And I wasn't with it. I was like, nah, like, I'm good. And he's like, no, really, like look what it did for you. Like, look how excited you were to wear a positive word. You can do the same for people. And I was like, all right, cool, we'll give it a try. So Black Friday of 2016, we created Be Great Bow Ties. Wow. It was a crazy day. We sold a bunch of bow ties that day. And since then, it's been really, really developing and growing and kind of becoming its own thing. You know, we've created our own designs. We've added logos to it in different colors. And we've really upped the design of it, because with anything you do, there's always progression. Sometimes negative, sometimes positive, but for us, the design quality is really important. And it's been a great ride, and there's a lot happening. Like I was telling you when I came in, we just got featured in a magazine for their holiday gift guide, which is really, really dope.
That's really cool.
Just a lot of really cool things coming that way as well. But I'm thankful, very, very thankful.
That's one story, man.
Yeah.
I remember you gave me one of those dice bow ties.
I gave you the first one I ever got.
Wow.
That was the first one? Knicks colors.
So I know how affected you were by the whole situation. I know you do something to kind of support something, right, in the case.
Yeah, so with Be Great Bow Ties, every purchase, we donate 5% of the purchase to a suicide awareness organization. And the reason we do that is it's basically, one, we want to prevent suicide, but at the same time, it's our way of paying homage to Terrell Shaw. He wasn't a bad guy. I feel like he had mental illness, and mental illness is something that we don't really address, especially amongst Black men. And I just felt like it made sense for us to do that. So as we continue to develop as a brand, we're going to do more around having conversations and creating spaces to talk more around mental illness and suicide prevention, because that's something that we lose sight of as a community. There are resources out there. I don't want to take away from those resources and the organizations that are focused on it, but at the same time, there's more that can be done, and we want to be a brand that's focused on that as well.
I think that's a beautiful thing, because people really need someone to talk to. Or they, you know, there's all these tricky situations where they don't even want to talk, even though it'll probably help, just because of who knows what, you know, people are dealing with. And I always pray for people, man, because we're all dealing with something. You know, you may see someone, I've been seeing on social media a lot, they're like, make sure to check up on your friend that's always smiling, because, like, behind the smile, you know, they could be dealing with a whole lot.
Absolutely.
You know, yeah. And just being their friend and just connecting with them, and just a random call. I got a text a few days ago from my friend, and he's like someone I always work with. We always do events and all these shows and projects and social media things. So he texted me, and I was like, hey man, I hope you're having a good day. And I was kind of like, I kind of was having a tough week. And I'm thinking he's going to like give me work to do or ask me to like pick something up. And I never mind, you know, I've been able to like support my family from all the work he's given me. So I'm very grateful when he gives me work. But I'm so used to it. I'm just so accustomed. Like when I talk to people, it's usually, never mind. Cause I kind of put myself in this, let's help these goals.
Yep.
So most people just hit me up to help hit a goal. And there's a lot of times where I'm like, damn, I'm kind of having a bad day. Like I wish I could get it. And I can, luckily a lot of my friends I could talk to, but he was just like, I just wanted to say what's up.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh,
thank you.
And just stuff like that, it goes a long way. So if you know someone out there, anyone listening, you know, don't just hit up the friend that complains, hit up any friend that you have that matters to you, because you know life is definitely hard, and that's amazing what you're doing to give back to these people.
I appreciate it, man.
Organizations.
It's been great. I learned new things about just life every day, and I'm thankful for it. And you know, before Terrell committed suicide, I'm not gonna say I didn't care about suicide, but I didn't educate myself on it. It wasn't something that mattered to me as much because I've never had anybody I knew in that space. So it's always interesting how we utilize tragedy to kind of put ourselves in spaces to better understand it, to educate ourselves. Or as people say, a lot of times tragedy brings people together. So for me, it was like, wow, like suicide is a real thing that's happening to people. And yes, I'm not going through it personally, but you're right. Any one of my friends, any one of my family members could be in that space. And, you know, you just want to be more mindful and more open-minded to understanding, like, there are these diseases and these mental health issues, and there are things happening within our communities that we just need to be open to and open to supporting people and not shutting them down. So that was something that's something that I really want to push with our brands and what I'm doing moving forward.
Yeah, bro, you're living the example too, you know, just by connecting with people and, you know, really pushing that message, you know, because then there's just been a few messages that really connected me with this year. And you know, that to me, when I found out about that message, I'm like, wait a minute. Sometimes I just hit people up on the business tip, or like, so now like I'll literally be driving, and I have like a few people that I just always call, and a lot of the time they're like, well, what's up? I'm like, oh, I don't know. I just wanted to say, like, I literally call my mom like three times a day now. And a lot of it, she's like, is everything okay? I'm like, yeah, no, I just got a turkey sandwich. Just wanted to say hi.
I do the exact same thing with my mom, so.
Yeah.
I know exactly where you're coming from. I wanted to add something quickly, if I could.
Yeah.
Future project we were just talking about, because that's where we met. There's a dream director, one of my boys, I'm pretty sure you know him, Lamar, right? Yeah. Lamar Womble. Well, he was actually at our photo shoot.
Yeah.
And the reason I'm bringing him up is because I went to a public speaking event he did at a high school in Philly. He invited me, and one thing he had the students do was, or he shared a conversation he had with his dad. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because there was some conflict between his dad and his mom, and it bothered him. I'm not going to put all his business out there, but it upset him, and he didn't talk to his dad for years. Like, he just stayed away, didn't have a conversation with his dad. And then one day he found out some information about his dad that forced him to have a conversation with his dad. And then when he had the conversation, he brought up what he found out, and then come to find out it was all misconstrued. So then he lost all his time connecting with his father. It was like years, because he was upset by something that was a little misunderstood. And the reason I'm bringing it up is because he shared in that yes, sometimes you have people in your life who may do you wrong or may let you down. And in most cases, when it's friends and family, they're not doing it intentionally. But he said, right now, right in this moment, reach out to them and just tell them you're thinking about them. Just tell them you care about them. So he had every student in the auditorium send text messages to their family members or friends or peers in their lives that they didn't talk to in a while.
Wow.
Just to say, hey, I know we're not talking, but I just want to let you know I appreciate you, or, you know, I'm thinking about you. And he had some students share that, share what the text they got back. And it was just beautiful to see. So the reason I bring it up, because I think it'd be really dope. It's something that I did in that moment. I wasn't talking to somebody and I reached out to them and I felt really good about it. So anybody who's listening, if you have somebody that, you know, is in your life that you feel like let you down, or somebody that you feel like did you dirty, it just takes a second. If you have the number, shoot them a text. And you don't have to be all lovey-dovey. You can literally just be like, hey, I know we didn't talk in a while. Been thinking about you. Hope all is well. And yeah, you may get a message back. You may or may not, depending on your relationship. But don't think about that. Just know that you put out that positive energy.
Yeah, yeah.
So I challenge, you know, the audience and whoever's listening to do something like that, especially for somebody in your life that, you know, you may miss, or, you know, you guys have had some conflict with.
That's amazing. And it brings me to another lesson, because I was talking about something the other day about, do I do good things to just say I do good things? And I was kind of like testing myself to like do good things and just not put it anywhere and just be like, not let anyone else know that it just happened, you know? And I tried to test myself. Luckily, I felt really good both ways. And someone commented, and I thought it was really cool what he said. And I want to just kind of bring that up too, because I was reading it, and he said something that was like pretty much just removing himself from it.
Yep.
You know, and just completely just doing it. He said, next step is doing good even when it doesn't make us happy and when no one knows about it. Sacrifice. When we take out the emotional reward of feeling good about ourselves, we push ourselves to do even more for others, even when there is literally zero value brought back to ourselves. And then it's about balance. Always got to keep our pitcher filled in order to fill other cups.
Yeah.
So I just heard that. I was like, damn. I was like, that's good.
There's always going to be some type of value, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Always. Like, you can go into it not wanting anything out of it, but just the thought of you doing it, to you, it can bring value to your day and how you're feeling. So I get where he's coming from, and I don't want to take away from it, but in addition to what he's saying, there's definitely some value either for you or the moment.
Exactly.
And I'm a type of guy, like, I feel like if I do something nice for my dad, like, we have a bamboo plant in my house, and it like pops off my bamboo plant, and it just, in my mind, I feel like energy, when it's nice, when it's positive, when the vibe is good, it's just good. Like,
exactly.
There's no, like, you can't even tell. It just feels good. Like, you can tell, but you can't question it. There's no words to explain it. It's just good vibes, you know? So,
I agree.
Yeah, man, he's absolutely right. I definitely agree with him as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And I kind of agree with a little bit everything. Like, it could be a win-win, because, like, I want to be happy too, to be even more motivated to do these things. So it's like this, you know, just, I think just doing good and checking in on people, being nice to people, it just goes a long way if we feel something or not. But as you said, it's the goal is to help them feel something.
Yeah.
And that's beautiful, man. I you know, I've been following your journey. I can't wait to see how it unravels and the evolution of everything.
I appreciate it. It's been we're only getting started. And I told you, 2019 is the year of reckoning for the Connection Curator and DYU8 and all the projects we're working on. So
nice.
I'm coming hardcore, man. In a positive, loving community type way.
So maybe give them the website. Where could they find all the good stuff?
Yeah, so currently there's no website for the Connection Curator, but I can be found on Instagram and Facebook under the Connection Curator, just the way it sounds, the Connection Curator, as well as Date While You Wait. And then Be Great Bow Ties, we have BeGreatBowTies.com, and we have Instagram and Facebook as well. And once again, it's under Be Great Bow Ties, and B is actually spelled B-E, Great Bow Ties. So it's not just the letter B.
Got it.
But yeah, that's where you can find me. And, you know, in 2019, you can definitely find me in the subway near you, because we're making, like, we're getting back into doing Day While You Waits on a regular basis.
That's great.
So we'll have our photographer and some video projects that we're working on. And I'm also I'm releasing a new kind of component to Day While You Wait.
Cool.
That I can share. We're going to be giving out loyalty cards. So as nice. People go on dates with me, they'll be getting punches to their cards. And after a certain amount of dates, we're going to give you a gift. So you may get a gift bag with a book with the words of affirmation, or a necklace, or nice. A wristband that has words of affirmation on it. But we want to give out basically positive driven product to people for connecting with me. And I've had people come back during the years of me doing Date While You Wait several times. So I think this loyalty program is going to be really cool.
That's really cool.
Great way to connect with people as well.
That's amazing, brother. You always have my support. And anyone who doesn't know Thomas, make sure, you know, stay connected with him and, you know, follow the journey, because literally, as you said, just getting started.
Just getting started. I appreciate it, man. I appreciate the opportunity.
Of course, man. Definitely. For anyone who's tuned in, make sure to stay connected. I'm about to drop a couple of tunes. It's been a good week. My friend Brand New, he just dropped his new project, New. And my homegirl Prima just dropped her album. I haven't listened to anything but those projects, so I'm going to drop a couple of tracks off them. And then we got Bino Chief. He's going to drop a Type 88 freestyle. So make sure you keep it locked.
Yo, you're now listening to Type 88 on Maker Park Radio with Dave Noodles. Don't stop dreaming.
I said my wings will never hold me down. Yeah. I said my wings will never hold me down. Hold me down. My wings will never hold me down. Yeah. I said my wings will never hold me down. Yeah. I said my wings will never hold me down. Down. My wings will never hold me down. Yeah.
Hit a wall built in brick, block mental bar sick. Wanna break through so bad, but the key got me sick. I gotta hold on, let go, tightest grip she ever know. I finally got to the soul to see even deeper the black hole. Is this where it gets real life? Real life where you feel like, where your fears meet dear life, where your hair light starts to see white, where you breathe right over and over, you rewrite, re-spit and repeat and re-be right.